We'll turn again in the Word of God, please, to Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, at last Lord's Day, as we came to the latter part of Mark chapter 2, I said that we would take a number of weeks to look at the subject of the Lord and the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 2 and the verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And we're looking then in these messages of Christ's authority. And Christ's authority over the Sabbath. Last Lord's Day we saw the Lord's sovereignty over the Sabbath as it was evidenced in its institution. And so I emphasize the word made. In verse 27, the Sabbath was made. And the Lord established the Sabbath then in creation. It is not merely a Jewish law institution, but it is a creation institution for all time. And then we also saw the Lord's sovereignty in the Sabbath as its evidence in its implementation. And for the Pharisees, they were showing their folly in telling the Lord, the one who is the Lord of the Sabbath, how the Sabbath day is to be kept. And the Lord was showing how the Sabbath was never intended to be a burden, and how the Pharisees had added to the Sabbath law. And today we're moving on into chapter 3, where there is this incident in the synagogue, the healing of the man with the withered hand. And in verse 4, he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, as are to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. The Apostle Peter, in his epistle of 1 Peter, emphasized that it is the duty of the Christian to do well or to do good. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 15, 1 Peter 2 and the verse 15, so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And Peter was showing that it is the will of God for the child of God to be engaged in doing good. Well-doing. The words there are actually spoken in the context of those that the Lord has put in place of a political authority. The Lord has placed them there for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. There is a duty in the state to do well. How much more then a duty upon the child of God to do well. And over again through 1 Peter, Peter speaks along this line. It is better, he says in chapter 3 in the verse 17, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well doing than for evil doing. God's people are to be engaged in well doing. Now, the particular Greek word that Peter used there is a word that he used in that epistle more than any other time used in the New Testament. But it was used a couple of times by our Lord through his ministry. And one of those occasions relates to this issue of the Sabbath day, where the Lord asked this question of the Pharisees. Is it lawful to do good on Sabbath day as are evil? And the Lord was, of course, very strongly implying that the law is that we are to do well, we are to do good on the Sabbath day. It's interesting that Peter said that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And I believe as Peter wrote those words under inspiration, he must have had Mark 3 in mind. You will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men by well doing. For is that not exactly what the Lord did here in Mark chapter 3, where he said in the verse 4, is it lawful to do good? And as the question was put to the Pharisees at the end of verse 4, they held their peace. They were silenced. The Lord's well doing had silenced the ignorance of foolish man. I want you to think of this question in the verse 4. Mark 3 verse 4. Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil? To save life or to kill? What have you ever wondered that the options that the Lord was providing seem at first a little strange? Is it lawful to do good or to do evil? Now, if the Lord only meant concerning the man with the withered hands, that question would appear very unusual. Is it lawful to do good to him or lawful to do evil? Now, the Pharisees, they didn't intend evil against this man. They were happy for him to suffer another day, that is true. But they didn't have evil intent. They had no desire to see him die. They had no desire to kill him. Why then did the Lord say, is it lawful to do good or evil? Save life or kill? Because surely it left the Pharisees without an option of being able to answer, since they didn't actually intend good for him on this day or to save his life on this particular day. I believe the Lord had two individuals in mind in that question. One was the man, the other was himself. And so the question really is this. Is it lawful to do good to the man with the withered hands on the Sabbath day? Or is it lawful to do evil to the Son of Man, to the Lord of the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day? Is it lawful to save this man with the withered hand, save his life by giving him life back, as it were? Or is it lawful to kill the very Son of God? Because, you see, the very thing that was going on in these men's heart was this. We don't really want this man to be healed today. In fact, they were deeply opposed to this man being healed on the Sabbath day. But they were very desirous to see the destruction of the Lord. They had that plan in their hearts to kill. And we read then in verse 6, after this incident, they actually even went to the Herodians. And surely the implication is that they even went on the Sabbath day. And these men that claimed to be such protectors of the Sabbath day, they broke the day in their hearts, and they broke the day in going to seek the death of the Son of God as they went to the Herodians, to the Gentiles, even on the Sabbath day. They accused the Lord of breaking their foolish man-made rules, but the Lord was showing that they were and had broken the perfect law of God. So the Lord was not guilty of breaking the Sabbath day. I showed you that last Lord's Day. That is an impossibility for the Lord to break the Sabbath day. If the Lord broke the Sabbath day, he has sinned. If the Lord defied the Sabbath day, then he is a lawbreaker. He is no longer the sinless Lamb of God. Christ kept the law. He defended the law. He upheld the law. He fulfilled the law. But he did expose false teaching about the law. So you may have heard or seen famous paintings that had been painted over. And so maybe there was a beautiful painting painted in the Renaissance period, but it went out of fashion. And somebody decided they were going to paint over the top of it. And years later then, somebody very passionate about Renaissance art, they would take that painting and they would strip off the top layer. They would want to get back to the original painting. And that is something like what the Lord was doing here. The law of God, the Bible says, is holy, just and good. But the Pharisees had painted over it. The Lord then was stripping away their foolish additions. The Pharisees' attitude toward the Sabbath was very much negative. So for them, the Sabbath day was a list of do nots. You're not to do this. You're not to do that. There's no doubt that there are various things to be avoided on the Sabbath. But the Sabbath itself is not a negative command. You think even in the Ten Commandments we have those commandments, thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not commit adultery. But the fourth commandment is not, thou shalt not break the Sabbath day. The fourth commandment is put in a positive way. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And as the Lord then approached the subject of the Sabbath day, he didn't come at it from a thou shalt not point of view. But he approached it in this positive way. And in this question, is it lawful to do good? He was saying, It is lawful to do good. The Sabbath day then is a thou shalt. Thou shalt do good on the Sabbath day. And the Lord demonstrated that doing good, as he did good for this man that had the crippled hand. He commanded the man to stretch forth his hand. And the Lord not only gave the command, he gave the ability. The man was restored. The Lord healed. The Lord had done good on the Sabbath day. So if you were to ask a Pharisee, what are you supposed to do in the Sabbath day? They would say, you're not to do this, you're not to do that. We ask the Lord, what are we to do in the Sabbath day? The Lord would say, we are to do good. So as we saw last time, the Sabbath was made for man. It is a gift to man. It's God's gift that we might do good. So we're looking here again at the Lord's sovereignty over the Sabbath. And today we're seeing the Lord's key principle for the Sabbath keeping. Do good on the Sabbath. I want to see that this principle of doing good on the Sabbath was established in the week of creation. For we saw last week that the whole issue of Sabbath keeping goes back to creation, and that it was instituted there. And so we don't merely trace the Sabbath day to Sinai, but it goes right back to creation. Now that principle, or this principle of doing good on the Sabbath day, we can trace it back to creation as well. If you look with me in Genesis 2, Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 2. In Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, I don't want you to notice here that on this first Sabbath, the Lord rested. Did the Lord rest because he was tired? Did the Lord rest because he needed to regain energy? Not at all. The Lord remained God omnipotent. None of the Lord's power had been drained from him in creation. And so from a physical point of view, God did not need a rest. Why then did God rest on the Sabbath day? And that first Sabbath day, he rested to set a pattern. You cannot see then that in that first Sabbath, the Lord was doing good for us. The Lord didn't need to rest, but you see, the Sabbath was made for man, and God was showing to man, this is what you need, and so the Lord was doing good and showing us what we need and what is good for us. The word that the Lord used in Mark 3 verse 4, the Sabbath is a day for doing good, that word for good or well-doing, according to Strong's Concordance, it means to do something which profits others. Doing something which profits others. And is that not exactly what happened in Genesis 2 verse 2 and 3? The Lord did something that profited not so much himself, but it profited man. The Sabbath was made for man. It was for man's good. And that is why it is so unreasonable for man, and especially for the Christian man, to rebel against the Sabbath. Because the Lord has said, I have given you this day for your good. You see then, when someone says, I do not believe in the Sabbath and I don't want a Sabbath day, they are really saying that they know better than God himself. God has said, I know this is what you need and I give it to you. And yet man in his folly will say, I know better than the Lord of the Sabbath. If you look with me in Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 8. Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 8. And so we have the giving of the law here. Exodus chapter 20 and the verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour to do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, and that thou shalt not do any work. And verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And so we've been given 6 days to work. The 6 days of the working week then are exactly for that. They are for work. And we'll see in a moment or two for our own pleasure. But then there is this Sabbath day where God rested on the Sabbath day, not because he needed rest, but because we needed rest. The Sabbath then is a day of rest from labour. The Sabbath is a day of rest from labour. And the Lord, of course, did show that there are exceptions. And so on the Sabbath day, there are to be works of necessity and mercy. And the example that we have in Mark 3 is of this man that stood in need of healing. It would have been foolish to say that we will leave this man until tomorrow. The Lord was there. He was able to heal. It was a work of necessity and mercy that he would be healed. So for one who is sick, you wouldn't withhold treatment onto a Monday. For a mother who is in labour, the midwife can't tell her to wait until tomorrow and I'll meet you at 8 o'clock on Monday morning. It just doesn't work that way. And so there is there a work of necessity and mercy. I come from a nursing background and I've worked many Lord's days. I detested it, but I did it. Sometimes people that work in that environment, they can get the idea of works of necessity and mercy. And they make what is a necessity their own personal necessity. What I mean by that is if the boss was to say, I need an ambulance driver on a Sunday, some might say, well, I want to be that driver every Sunday. And so there is there a work of necessity and mercy, but they make it their own necessity. So it's no longer a necessity of mercy, really. It's just their own personal preference. I know a young girl back home like that. She became backslidden. And later she bitterly regretted her enthusiasm to work in the Lord's day. Because really she took this commandment and she used it as an excuse to be away from the house of God. And thank the Lord did restore her. And she saw the folly of that. Now I know that those that work in that environment must take their turn. But it is to be a work of necessity and mercy. Or the example is given in the other Gospels of a farmer whose animal has fallen into the pit. And what farmer is going to say, I'll leave my animal there until tomorrow, it doesn't really matter. He is to show compassion on the Sabbath. And the Sabbath then is a day not only of works of necessity and mercy, it is a day when compassion is to be shown. Now, when it comes to the Sabbath, very often we ask the question, am I able to do this? Am I able to do that? And I don't want to add rules and become like the Pharisees. But I do believe that the Sabbath day is not only a day of rest from labour, but it is also a day of rest from business, or from commerce. If you read the last chapter of the book of Nehemiah, you'll read there of how Nehemiah was greatly distressed over the desecration of the Lord's day. And in that chapter, the whole emphasis is not only upon the farmers bringing in their harvest, but seeking to sell their harvest on the Sabbath day. And Nehemiah ordered that the gates of the city would be closed at the commencement of the Sabbath, and they would remain closed right through until the close of the Sabbath day. There was to be no commerce. So if you think of going to a shop on the Lord's Day or going to a restaurant on the Lord's Day, you must ask the question, is this a good deed on the Sabbath day? Am I well doing by going to this place and engaging in business on the Sabbath day? What spiritual benefit will there be for the person on the other side of the counter? And what personal benefit will there be for the chef who has to work on a Sunday to accommodate churchgoers who want to go out for a meal afterwards? Does it encourage that person to see the purpose of the Sabbath day? Does it really do good? And I believe we're honest over those questions, we will see that the Sabbath day is a day of rest from business and commerce. I believe it is also a day for rest from sport and recreation. In Isaiah 58 and verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honourable, and shalt honour him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. And the Sabbath then is not a day for finding our own pleasure, for our own recreation. I oppose Sunday sport. The Sabbath is a day for rest. The Sabbath was never meant to be burdensome. It is to be a delight. But our delight, as we'll see in a moment or two, is to be especially on the Lord. It's not to be on secular things, but first and foremost, our delight on the Lord's day, and it is to be a delight, is to be primarily in the things of the Lord. And so we ought to be glad to be free from labour, from these other legitimate things that occupy our week. We're glad to set those aside, to have a day for the Lord. So we are to do good in the Sabbath. This principle was evidenced in the week of creation. And then this principle is to be evidenced in the worship of the Creator. For as we think of this question, is it lawful to do good in the Sabbath day? And the Lord has said then, is very strongly at bearing, we are to do good on the Sabbath day. And what is the duty of the Sabbath? To do good, and that duty especially is to do good in worship. If you turn with me to the Psalm 92. The Psalm 92, and this psalm deals with the subject of the Sabbath day. And so it is a day to do good. How can we do good for ourselves in being in the place of worship? How can we do good for our fellow Christians by being in the place of worship to encourage them? So very often we see the Sabbath as negative, but this is certainly one place where it is very positive. If we look then at Psalm 92, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. Remember, the titles of the psalms are inspired. And so this isn't just man's idea about the psalm. This is the inspired title, a psalm or song for the Sabbath day. It's all about the Sabbath. Notice then verse 1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And notice there at the very beginning of that sentence in this Sabbath psalm, the word good. It's a good thing. And so the Lord said, hey, we ought to do good on the Sabbath day. Surely the Lord was thinking of this Psalm 92. What is the good thing? First and foremost, it is to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. How do we do good on the Sabbath then? By giving thanks unto the Lord. And this psalm emphasizes that the Sabbath is not the Sabbath hour or the Sabbath 2 hours. It's not the Sabbath morning, but it is the Sabbath day. In verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, or literally in the nights. The Sabbath then is the Sabbath day, or from the morning right through until the evening. And so it's not that we give some part of the day to the Lord and the rest is for ourselves. The whole day is the day of the Lord. Now, George Swinnick, a great Puritan writer, he said, so also to employ the whole day in God's worship, be either praying or reading or hearing or singing or meditating or discoursing with others about the works or word of God, be always taken up either with public prayer or secret duties. So then the Sabbath day is to worship God for his works in creation. If we look at verse 4, thy Lord has made me, this is Psalm 92. Psalm 92 verse 4, thou Lord has made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. So we are to glory in the Lord's works. In verse 5 we have the same idea. How great are thy works, and we are to rejoice in the Lord's person. If you look at the end of verse 1, The Lord is called the Most High. In verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness. It speaks of thy faithfulness. We are to survey the Lord's person, the Lord's being, the Lord's attributes. That's the business of the Lord's day. We are to consider the Lord's great victory. In verse 9, it says, lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. And on the Sabbath day, then, we think of the Lord's victory. Of course, then we are brought to consider the whole subject of the Lord's redemption. So in a sense, there is work to be done on the Sabbath day. The work for the Sabbath day is worship work. The rest of the Sabbath is not to be filled with idleness. The Sabbath is not a day to spend the whole day in bed. Some may need extra sleep on the Sabbath to help them for the rest of the week and even to help them on the day itself to worship. But the whole day is not to be one of idleness. And the Lord himself has shown that example. You think of how on the seventh day the Lord rested. But he wasn't idle. The Lord was still upholding his creation. And the Lord hadn't ceased to be who he is. So the day is not to be kept idle. The day is to be kept holy. And we'll see in a future week how, God willing, the Sabbath rest points forward to our great eternal rest. So the Sabbath day today, the Lord's day, it points forward to an eternity spent with the Lord. You think of what we will be doing through all eternity. We will not be idle. We will not be sleeping away eternity. Forever we will serve the Lord. And that is to be then the business of this day. A day for worship. A day for service. Lavell said, the mind is most active and busy in the work of God. Though the body be at rest, and the spirit not wearied with its work. So yes, we serve the Lord every day, we worship the Lord every day, but in mercy the Lord has given us a special day to worship his name. So to do good on the Sabbath, this principle was established in creation. It's evidenced in worship of the Creator. And I want to see then finally that this principle is to be exercised in wisdom before the Creator. For thinking of this, a principle that the Lord was setting out, it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. The Lord never intended that those words would be so open for interpretation that man would abuse it for his own end. So there are some that they would take those words, the Sabbath is a day to do good. And so a farmer might say, it would be good for me to harvest my crops. It would be good for me to ensure that I can get my harvest in while the weather is dry. That would be an abuse of that principle. Because his labour would not be a labour of necessity and mercy. He would not be doing good. He would be breaking the commandment. In this line, J.C. Ryle said, we must not allow ourselves to suppose that the permission to do good implied that everyone might find his own good on the Sabbath. The permission to do good was never meant to open the door to amusements, worldly festivities, travelling, journeying, and sensual gratification. It was never intended to license the Sunday railway train, or the Sunday steamboat, or the Sunday exhibition. These things do good to none, and they certainly do harm to many. And so the liberty is to do good, but it's not a liberty to break the commandment. It's not a liberty to dishonour the day. It's a liberty to keep the commandment and honour the day. As we think of these words then that the Lord was speaking, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days? As the Lord asked that question in Mark chapter 3, it was the Lord that went on to do good. So the Lord asked the question, he set the principle, and he did the good that day. It was the Lord that healed that man that had this withered hand. As we think then of the Sabbath day, it is not only a day for God's people to do good. It's not only a day in which we ought to delight in doing good. But it is a day, I believe, in which God himself delights in doing good. You think of And through the Lord's ministry, the number of times the Lord performed miracles on the Sabbath day. And it was emphasized that it was on that day. You think through the Lord's ministry how many times he taught on the Sabbath day. Surely the Lord was putting a special blessing on it. And the Lord labored every day. The Lord blessed every day. Remember how in Genesis 2 it says, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Is that not what Christ did in his ministry? There was a very special blessing upon this, his own day. And if the Lord delights in the day, how much more then ought we who have a need, as God has seen it, of such a day? Now, one of the great differences between the Jewish Sabbath in the Old Testament and the Christian Sabbath today is the great threat that was very evident in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, the Sabbath day was not only part of the moral law, but there were elements of the civil law that were linked into it. The civil law, the ceremonial law, is no longer relevant for us today. It is the moral law that abides for every generation. Before the Old Testament Jew then, the issue of the Sabbath day had a great civil impact. And so if someone broke the Sabbath day, and even going out to gather sticks, there would be a most stern, a most severe penalty. In some way then we might say their motivation was out of fear. Now, it ought never to have been fear only, but there must have been a motivation of fear. But our motivation is love. As we think of Christ, we think of all that he has done for us. As we think of his authority, he has said, I am Lord of the Sabbath day. And love then for the one who is Lord of the Sabbath, we say, I desire to do good on this day. Remember how the psalmist said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is to be a day of great joy. Remember, there's one here this morning, and you are still without the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to a close, I want to show you the relevance of the opening part of Mark chapter 3 to you. For in the opening part of Mark chapter 3, we see there a man with a withered hand. Luke tells us it was a withered right hand. And so if he was right-handed, which I presume that was the case when Luke gave that detail, he had a powerless right hand. He was a man that lacked strength. And yet, he had that desire to be healed. Perhaps this morning, as you see your weakness before Almighty God, the Lord has shown that need, and the Lord has even created desire in your heart after himself. Oh, that you would hear the words that the Lord spoke to that man. Because at the end of verse 3, the Lord said to him, stand forth. Come out from the crowd. And he came out, and not only now did he feel his own weakness, but the whole crowd could see it. But then at the end of verse 5, the Lord said, stretch forth your hand. Oh, that you would hear the Lord say to you today, come away from the company of the ungodly. Come and stand before me. And then that you would hear the Lord say, stretch forth your hand. In other words, believe, repent, rest in Christ. And as the Lord gave the command, he gave the ability to respond. Are you like that man? Or are you like the Pharisee? Those who would not submit to him. Those who wished that the Lord was silent. Those that were determined to be rid of him. And I trust that is not the case for any in the house of God this morning. Oh, that you might come and bow before Christ, that you might take him as your own. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts.